Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ross Sutton and Big J Okerson on the SDR show. This week, we get to live out our little fanboy fantasies and fangirl with Shannon as we bring on Rob Benedict and Richard Speight, as you may know them as God and Gabriel from Supernatural. Really fun episode. Although it's through Zoom, they were very cool dudes. And Jay, Shannon, and I got to ask a bunch of questions, and they were just super cool guys. If you're a Supernatural fan, you could have heard this 5 days ago. Sans commercials at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the code SDR. Get a 7-day free trial. Get access to every episode we've ever done. Commercial-free, HD, live chat, and access to about 21 other shows on the network, all available to you. Try it out for 7 days. You don't like it, who cares? Cancel. Don't get charged. And then just listen to the show anywhere you want to listen to it. That's all we care about. But here it is right now, the Rob Benedict, Richard Speight Jr. episode of the SDR show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone fuck the hoe. It's weed, I'm beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, it's far, you need to know. The SDR show. Let's go.
It is the SDR show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again, it is Big J Okerson in some hotel somewhere in Albany. Thank you for making this happen, Jay.
It's a True by Hilton.
Is that what it is? Is that a decent hotel? I don't know Hilton's. I don't know hotels.
Nope.
When you're doing before we bring on our guests, but when you're doing comedy out on the road, do you try to request a certain type of hotel, or you don't care? Just put me somewhere. I don't give a shit.
I care much more about the flight than the hotel.
Okay, fair enough.
Hotels, whatever. I'm just gonna sleep there anyway.
I would say this. I think we used to say that the term is the third time's the charm. I think this is like the eighth time's the charm. We were finally able to get these guys on the show. The precursor before we bring them on, our producer, Shannon, Jay, my co-host, and I, ridiculous fans of Supernatural, not a normal guest for the SDR show, but we've had two other Supernaturally alum on the show over the last few years, but really happy to have them on. You may know them as God and the Archangel Gabriel, but they are Rob and Richard. Welcome to the show, guys. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
I was saying, it does make me nervous, Jay, when you're talking to God, and at one point, I guess Loki then became Gabriel. It does make me a little nervous to be looking at them, and I feel like they're looking into my soul, Jay.
Really? You can't separate that kind of reality?
I can't, no. I want to get things change. I want God to fix my back problems. That's all I want.
Hey, God, respectfully, can I ask you?
I don't do backs.
I will say this, by the way.
You know, fun and interesting for me, because it's the show Supernatural is almost completely contemporary for me in its entirety, because it was a show me and my girlfriend started in the beginning of quarantine.
Oh, wow.
And tore through 15 seasons fast enough to catch up to like two episodes before the finale. We were back live.
Wow. Yeah.
Which was amazing timing. And also I assume, like most people, in the beginning of quarantine, not that I took it seriously, other than it was affecting. I was so terrified of everything that it was such a warm blanket, the show. It really was. It was like, I'll put the show on, we'll watch 3-4 episodes a night and just tear through them. And I can kind of sink into it. And it was such a huge thing in that regard. So it's very, very cool to have you guys on.
And for me, guys, just so you know, and I've told the story when we had, Jim on and we had Felicia on, there was a very, and you guys both didn't come in season one, I think. Richard, you came in on season two, maybe.
Yeah, season two.
Yeah. And Rob, I think it was like maybe season five or four or five, right? Something like that. Yeah. So there was this crazy promo in the New York City subway stations before the first episode, where I was on the train and out the window You know, the first, I mean, you guys are just finished the first season. The next season of your podcast comes out next week. But
yeah,
the first season, you said like the way the supernatural words were just moving across the screen, right? Looking out the window of the fucking subway car, that was happening outside the window. Some like really unique art advertisement campaign. I was like, what the fuck was that? And I went home and I looked it up and it wasn't getting a lot of press yet. It hadn't even come out yet. And I legitimately, I'm 52 years old. The three of us are about the same age.
Christ.
I never missed an episode that Wednesday night, whatever night it was on. I watched them live consistently from day one to the last one because I am a psychopath.
I can tell by everybody else's beard stroking as you're telling the story that we're all wondering, why were you staring out of a subway window? Were you being taken from behind by a homeless?
One tear going down. But that's crazy because I'm sure you didn't. I mean, it's kind of a wild little story there.
Yeah, that's crazy. I never heard about that.
No, I didn't either.
Well, that would have been a WB thing. Because way back in the day, it was on the WB. It was like the last standing show from the old WB network.
Right. And so for those that don't know, the two of you started a podcast together where you are. It's called Supernatural Then and Now. You're rewatching the whole show from start to finish. My first obvious question, which I'm sure you're asked this all the time. Had you guys been, I know I listened to how you guys got on the show, but we'll get into that in a minute. But up until this point, have you watched them ever? Or
well, that's why
all?
The term rewatch, we sort of say in air quotes, because it's really more of a watch podcast for Robin and myself. We've watched a handful of episodes. I mean, 15 years is a lot of TV. There's a lot to bite off and swallow there. I had probably watched, if you added up all the episodes I had watched before starting the podcast, I had probably watched two seasons worth, probably. Wow. Which is a lot of TV, but it's not even a fraction, barely a fraction of the 15 seasons. So it's all very new to us.
So even when you guys were on, you weren't like, well, let me see how I did on last week's episode. I know it's a me heavy episode. You didn't care.
Right. Sometimes. I mean, I certainly watched. I've watched the episodes I was in. I watched episodes Rich directed and episodes friends of mine were in. But like Rich said, there are 327 episodes. It's just mm-hmm. So I never made it through all of them, and certainly never sat down from the beginning and watched them. So it's all new to me. I mean, it really. I just watched season one. And I've been telling people like it's a great show. It's a really good show.
By the way, our producer Shannon, who is like, she has like I guess some form of OCD. Shannon, would you call it, where she has to watch an entire show from start to finish when it starts? Shannon, how quickly did you make it through all 15 seasons?
Now that he's saying it's 300 and something episodes, it's, I guess, the shortest amount of time that you can watch them all back to back is what I watch them in. Because I started when the show originally aired, I watched with my mom. We used to watch all the time and somehow I just lost track of it. So I started from the beginning again and then just went through the whole thing. I would say a few weeks, maybe. I made it through the whole thing.
That's
I love it.
Wow. That's impressive.
And by the way, I don't know if you guys saw Shannon, but you hear her voice, you'll be surprised. That's the thinnest, most attractive person who's ever said something like that.
I also, by the way, which I found out, which I find fascinating, Rob, you're currently dating Rowena. Is that true?
yeah. Ruth Connell. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you meet? I guess you met on set. Is that fair or no?
I think we met at one of the conventions. You know, we do fan conventions all over the world for the show. And I think we might have met at Comic-Con in San Diego a few years ago. So, yeah. And then subsequently, yeah, we worked together on the show. And she lives with me now.
That's pretty
crazy.
Wild.
Yeah.
I guess your mystical powers don't work on God, so you're safe that way, which is good.
Ralph, could you please not be a sad Asian kid in an audience at a Comic-Con for 5 seconds? Stop throwing in your little show puns.
Well, let me ask this, because I listened to how you both got on the show, right? So Rob, we'll start with you. You went into the audition knowing nothing about it. And you got the gig, and it was supposed to be originally a one-off, and they expanded the role, right?
Yeah.
So my first question would be is, did you find out you were God before other people, or was it like revealed to everyone, like you had to keep it a secret And I'm not talking about obviously idiots like me. I mean, other staffers.
Right.
Or was it something that you had to keep secret, or you all found out about the same time?
No, I found out about it early and kept it a secret, but I didn't know, like when I auditioned, I didn't know when I shot the first several episodes I was in, I had no idea. But at the end of season five, is when Eric Kripke created the show, called me and said, you know, you're God. And that's what this means. It was an episode where like, I kind of like poof, I disappear. And he was like, well, you're God. And I was like, wow, that is amazing. This is a great phone call. And he was like, yeah. He was like, but I'm telling you this because I don't want you to get your hopes up. You're not going to come back on the show. This was at the end of season five. And he's like, I just can't have God coming in and saving the day all the time. And so I was like, oh, wow, this is the worst phone call ever. And, and then, you know, it was on for so much longer that it finally the plot came around that it made sense to bring me back. So I came back like season 10 and that was on pretty consistently regularly until the end. Yeah. But yeah, so I knew at the end of season five, he specifically said, don't let fans come up with their own idea of what happened to you and what you are, you know?
Right. And Eric, who was the creator, I believe, right? It was, yeah, like, your created character was basically him.
Yeah.
Until obviously he became God, unless he has a God complex. Maybe he does think he's God. I don't know.
Wow. Way to throw accusations, Ralph.
I don't know if maybe I've never asked Eric this, but I'd love to know when he knew that Chuck was going to be God. If he knew from the beginning, I have no idea.
Like, you know, it's funny. I was going to ask, that's what I was going to almost ask you, like, because I'm so like unfamiliar with the idea of writing, and I love story arc changes and kind of extreme changes like that in characters. And I wonder, so when they made the prophet, that if you were, if they knew from that point, or if like, you know, one day in a room, they're like, hey, we could probably make God.
Yeah.
And I've had fans come, you know, say like, you know, in that first episode you're in, you say this and this and that. And that's like obviously a hint that you're God. I'm like, I don't know if they knew that early, but you know, maybe they did. You know, a lot of the recurring guest stars have the same story where there was just going to be a one-off. And then I think Rich was the same, where they turned it into something else. And I think a lot of that might have to do with just sort of protecting themselves in case they cast like, you know, an actor who can't quite handle it, and right, you know, right, and then it goes away. But
well, that's always good that they could always in theory just jump into another body. So if an actor wasn't acting it, they're just now possessing someone else. Now, yeah. Richard, the same sort of thing. Richard, you were actually offered the show, which was not the normal path of that. And it was the real Bob Singer, not Bobby from the show, but the real Bob Singer was the one who offered you the show directly. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, when I say he offered me the show directly, he didn't actually call me and say, hey, Rich, you were offering the job. The casting directors do that. But I had done a pilot, a World War II pilot with Bob Singer, the real guy, that he had directed in England before he joined Supernatural. So the year before. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get picked up, but we, you know, all got along great and had a great experience. And so when the phone call came in to my agents, like, hey, they want you to come play a janitor on a new show. I'm like, okay, I can sweep. I can do this, but I
can do,
you know,
method acting. I got this.
Yeah. But I didn't know who had made that phone call. Like I wasn't aware that it was Bob Singer behind the show. I had no idea why I was getting that offer. Went to Vancouver, did the show, didn't recognize anybody in production. So I'm like, wow, this is weird. And it wasn't until I was working on a different show, Jericho, where I ran into Guy B, who's a director friend of ours, who's directed a lot of Supernatural episodes. And I was telling him that story. I'm like, yeah, I got an offer. But usually, you know why you have an offer, right? Like, you know, a producer, you know, a writer, you know, a director, you know, somebody up the food chain who has that power. And I couldn't figure it out. And Guy B said, well, I have the production crew list if you want to just leaf through that. And I went through and I saw Bob Singer. I'm like, oh, it's got to be Bob Singer. It's, you know,
that's cool.
You know, it's got to be that dude. So I emailed him, you know, because again, this is going back before everybody had everybody's number in their phone. You know, it was a different style of communication at that time. We had email, but it wasn't like you were zapping emails from your phone nonstop and, you know, that kind of thing.
I mean, it is fucking 15 years ago now. It is pretty crazy.
Like, well, longer than 15 years ago. It's like you're 17, 18. Yeah. I mean, even you're
faxing people.
Yeah, you were asking earlier about watching the show. I mean, it wasn't so easy. If you missed the episode, it wasn't like you just went to the streaming service and watched it. Like, you missed it.
I think it's actually interesting about the 15-year arc of the show is that to watch them – have to kind of quickly and move past it, like integrate technology that came about within the show. Like it was, I think they had flip phones, cell phones in the beginning, and they always had to get back to the hotel they were staying at, the motel, so they can get on the computer there.
Yeah.
And look, where by the end it was like, I'm sending you right now, you know. Yeah. Right. I'm sending you this. I'm texting you this right now. Text me the address.
Yeah, that's the thing that dates the show. And that's one of the only things that dates the show. Yeah. But definitely when they're like, we need to go to the library to get online.
Yeah.
Okay.
That and Jared's jeans.
Yeah, if someone called AAA and get a triptych so we could find our way there. Like, no, it's not going to be good. So what? Tell me if this, again, I try and do research. I'm wrong often, as Jay loves to point out. But from what I understand.
Great, I'll buckle up, guys. It's going to be something wrong.
The two of you didn't work with each other a lot on the show, a lot of scenes together. You ended up being on Cons together, hence Kings of Con, which is what is a show you guys were doing together, which kind of led to this show now. But originally, Supernatural Then and Now, they pitched to Misha Collins, and then somehow it became you two. Is that all right?
Pretty much, yeah. Rich and I never acted together on Supernatural at all. The closest we had was that he directed me in a couple of episodes. But yeah, we did all these conventions together. We'd always get paired together and became fast friends. And Rich and we decided, you know, we were traveling so much, we wanted to do something with our time together. So we wrote this show called Kings of Con, which we did 10 episodes on a what became a fledgling internet network, Comic-Con HQ. But it was a show we're super proud of, and you can still get it on Prime. Anyway, and that kind of turned into us being this sort of, we were paired together all the time and doing hosting stuff. And yeah, they came to Misha to do this podcast. And Misha said that, you know, Misha is crazy busy. And
I think he screamed, "You can't afford me," and hung up.
Yeah. He's like, "But Rich and Rob will do it." Yeah. And it's been a treat. It's been really fun. Like I said, like just watching the show for the first time and comparing notes with Rich as if it's a show we didn't have any clue about, you know.
Right, which you technically don't at this point because you didn't really see these episodes, which I think is funny. So much so, I saw that the season two of your podcast has Jensen and Jeffrey Dean Morgan on. And what really made me laugh is that you guys didn't realize that, oh no, Jeffrey was on a lot. You thought he was just in the pilot.
He was just in the pilot. And that's not like a bit. I thought the guy was in the pilot and then, you know, like started the show. I'm the dad. You're the little boys. Off into the world you go. Now you'll think about me and have my journal and all that kind of stuff. I know he's all over season one. Like I think I talked to Jeffrey. I'm like, congratulations on great role, man. He's like, well, that was 15 years ago, Rich. Yeah, thank you.
Some seasons he's just completely back. I think he's
crazy.
In like many episodes
so in
some
in,
seasons.
You know? Yeah.
That was always the best thing about the show. How the funny thing, certain people could come back whenever they needed them to, but certain people for some reason just could not come back. Like they could never bring the third brother was never able to come back for whatever reason, or the father only once in a blue moon. But you just have to have that suspension of disbelief, I guess, if you want to just enjoy the fucking show because it's a fun show.
Yeah, don't go looking for literal. Actual reactions in this.
Yeah.
Right.
So spoiler
alert, their mother, who's been dead their entire lives, just comes back. And within two episodes, it's just a normal thing. She's back.
Yeah. They don't even go through trauma. They're just fine.
They're not even going through it. Just kind of like, all right, well, mom says we're going to the store.
it falls into the old TV tropes of, you know, they'll get beaten senseless with a tire iron. And the next scene, they have a Band-Aid on their cheek. You know, not.
They tried to kill each other a couple times. Like, yeah, it's fine. Let's forget about it.
You know, what I think is pretty amazing, actually, for the show is, you know, this obviously the same I think the same like creative crew is what makes The Boys, the show The Boys on Amazon.
Yeah, yeah. Another show Eric Kripke created. Yeah,
and Bobby Singer is on both, is with the same name.
Same name, Bobby Singer.
It's great, yeah.
But it's, in that, you know, The Boys is over the top. You know, everything that you'd like love in like a, you know, a streaming show like that. It's like violent, it's like it's dirty. It's, you know, they can say whatever they want and go as far as they can. What's impressive by that crew is like that's their... you know, no handcuffs production, and they show you how far they can go. And to make a show as intriguing as that in the tent pole set by like the CW, you know, that's like pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And the rules probably even loosened over the course of the time the show was running, but I mean, always still in the parameters of like, you have to consider 14-year-old kids are watching.
Yeah. And the, and your sponsorship from Johnson & Johnson or whatever. Yeah. I mean, Rob and I have commented recently watching season one. We just finished season one of Supernatural. It's stunningly dark. I mean, it's so well done, obviously, but it's so dark. And we're looking at it right now through a 2022 lens. Rewind the tape to that opening year when you're up against what? Dawson's Creek and, you know, bunch of mopey tween girls in a boat on the lake talking about their boyfriends. Like, it's going to be a whole different thing what they were up against. I mean, they had looked incredibly dark back then. I mean, there was no measuring stick for that. It's a Christmas miracle they stayed on the air. Church group didn't write in and get them banned. You know,
didn't it almost get stopped a couple times?
A couple times.
Yeah, a couple times.
And it would be bad because it's interesting because what I thought was the weirdest change for me, and I think a lot of episodics do this, but like, what I dug about when I was first giving people the elevator pitch to watch it, when I started watching it, it was the allure to me was like, the through line is like, you know, they're kind of following their dad to find their dad, but then the episode's really just like, oh, there's a bog monster in Connecticut.
Monster of the week episode.
And then they're sort of becoming like major through line, and like, you know, luckily they're great through lines, so it was like fun to stay with. But like, it was, I think by the time Rob, you were on, like, it was already episodic. I think it was through line, like through full season through storylines.
Question to you, to Jay, and to Ralph, which do you prefer? Like, did you prefer the Monster of the Week or do you prefer the big arcs?
In the beginning of the big arcs, I was missing Monster of the Week. And then by the time I was super involved in the full season arcs, they actually did, I can't remember what, I want to say like season 8 or 9, like one of them really kind of went back and started doing, there was the through line, but like it was sort of again like solving a problem each week.
Yeah, they started to quantum leap thing idea. For a while. But I would say the problem, I love the long story arcs. I like them both. I'm the one I think that forced everyone else to watch the show. But the problem, I think the show that's on 15 years, there just becomes too many. Ooh, I pissed off Rich. He left. Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
That's it. You'll learn to watch your attitude, Ralph.
There's just questions. Like, I could probably come up with 20 that just never get answered because there's too much mythology. Like the one that'll jump out to me is like, well, whatever the fuck happened to the rest of the Leviathans? They never saw them again. They were all over the place. The leader died, but they're all there. And yet somehow these guys never saw one again. Is just kind of weird, you know? Yeah. So like, but there's just, when there's 15 years of storylines, how the fuck could you put a button on every story? You can't do it.
And it really, honestly, a lot of that just then falls on the fans to come up with their own theories, which people do. And then that kind of goes into the Bible. Like, well, the fan theory is, you know.
Right.
And then Rob and I are finding that now. I mean, we're watching episode one.
And you're like, and apparently these guys are brothers. I didn't even realize.
Yeah, but they're doing things where they'll solve a problem in a town with this one thing. And there's a whole nest of other critters running around. They're like, we got to move on. And you're like, wait a minute, don't move on. The town's infested.
Didn't Sam have a kid at one point? Am I right with that? I think he had a kid at one point, Sam.
What?
I don't think we've gotten there yet.
We haven't gotten there.
So. I could be wrong.
Oh my
I could
God.
Be
wrong with that. If it turns out that it's me and Rob, I'm going to really blow my top.
my favorite thing, I think I said this to you, Ralph, when we watched the finale of the show, was that where I was like, it's hilarious that like his heaven, like these guys both went off and like lived lives ultimately. In fact, they show like, you know, Jared Padalecki like has a whole life and kids and everything, but his heaven's still just hanging out with his brother on a bridge.
Fuck my life.
Family. Those kids, those snot-nosed pieces of shit were breaking my balls. Finally, I'm dead and get to be with my brother.
Yeah. He couldn't kill vampires for shit, that little whippersnapper. Gotta go back.
Boring. Who, that lady? Boring.
Good not mom, family, though, man. Yeah, not meant to settle down, apparently.
Old gray man, he still has the long hair.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah. No, in fact, they were both in the same age they were when they would hang together. It's really, it was pretty hilarious.
Yeah. All right. Before we go any further, if you are a responsible adult over the age of 21 and living in the states where Delta 8 is legal and you want to get really, really high, really super duper legally high, we talk about it all the time. It is yoDelta.com. You could stock up on high quality lab tested Delta 8. I'll make it feel like the Yo Delta Empire is here. I'll just go, yays. Close enough, I guess. I don't know. They have vapes. They have gummies. If you're over 21, and in the majority of the states where all of this is legal, it's time to stock up on Delta 8. It's found in hemp. It's legally shipped, and it can get you really high. What more do you need to know for all your getting stoned for the summer needs? Pack up and fill up on your gummies and vapes all at YoDelta.com. Of course, these products should be taken responsibly, but if you head over to YoDelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of the entire GAS Digital Network, you could use the promo code GAS, G-A-S, the promo code GAS, and you'll get 25% off the entire order. Once again, the promo code is GAS. You get 25% off. It's YoDelta.com, home of Delta 8. That will get you super fucking high. Eyes, get back into it.
Does that actually lead me to a question? When Felicia was on the show, she had told us they drastically changed the ending of the whole series because of COVID. Yeah. Were you guys involved anyway in that ending, that change that you know about specifically?
Yeah, I'll defer to Rob because Rob was very involved. I was not, and because I directed the third to last episode, and that was kind of my last hurrah with the show. I did the episode where Cass comes out to Dean and all that. It was our last episode that we shot before COVID affected the shooting schedule and everything else.
Literally, Rich flew out of Vancouver as everything was exploding, you know, and made it back safe. So I was
sounds like something Gabriel would do. You know what I mean?
In a way.
Meanwhile, I was
Ralph, why don't you just put on some makeup and ask if you could have a kiss?
I was gearing up to go up to shoot the big, you know, two episode finale. And then COVID happened and everything paused, for like 5 months. And then we finally went up in August and finished it kind of in a bubble. But, what really drastically changed was that what was going to happen was that they were going, all of us had, we're going to go up to Vancouver. And when I say all of us, meaning like all the recurring characters that people know, Rich included, and everybody, Felicia, everybody. So we were all going to go up there, and for the finale, he goes to heaven, and he goes to the Roadhouse, and everybody who was good, who would be in heaven, not me or Rich, but like, you know, I don't know, people that they knew, that they, you know, people like Felicia, they would be in the Roadhouse, and they'd all kind of be together, and then they were going to kind of like break the fourth wall and open up, and the rest of us were going to be there. And then we're going to kind of have this
with the crew and the whole gang,
everybody. Yeah. And we're going to kind of have a cast party, and then we're going to shoot it. And that was going to sort of be the.
And who was the band, Rob?
The band.
Kansas was going to be playing the bar.
Really? Nice.
Yeah. Kansas was booked to play. So Kansas was going to be in that scene playing.
Oh, how fucking carry on cool
and
would
whatever. It would have been incredible. It would have been incredible. And what a great party and a great finish for all of us. And then COVID. So that never happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was Ralph, I did a show in Key West not long ago, and a girl in the audience, I'm trying to remember like some rock star named or something. I wish I remember who it was exactly. But it was somebody more contemporary, and they were like, her boyfriend goes, that's actually her dad. And I was like, shut up. And she goes, her mom was like a groupie. So it's either that guy or the violin player from Kansas. Okay. What a hilarious two possible things. Think of someone like Steven Tyler or the violin player from Kansas.
One of the two.
So that was going to be the original ending with the actor. And was Kansas like confirmed that was done? It was all
man. I mean, look, I only know what I know, so I can't say I didn't see the contract, but the plan, that was the script, that was the plan. They were going to do it, which I have to believe is the case, because it wasn't that long after that Jared got them to show up and do an episode of Walker. So Kansas is in with the boys is like, so Kansas did an episode of Walker that Jensen directed. So I guess that was sort of the makeup.
That's kind of wild. That's pretty fucking cool. That would have been a great ending.
Now, you know, within the time of the show too, Jensen and Jared both got girlfriends and ultimately wives, which had to make every other guy in the cast be like, thank God. This spillover's got to be.
Every other guy in the cast, there's only two guys in the cast. Like them. The rest of us were just, you know, I mean, I guess Misha was locked in for a good chunk, and Mark Shepard, Mark Pellegrino kind of came and went. But, I mean, that's a two-man operation.
You go to those Comic-Cons, you could dress like pimps and walk through that place.
We were all married dudes. They're like, it was the high, like, you know, most of us are older than Jared Jensen and most of us were married when we came into the whole scenario. So it wasn't.
But you take a chance, by the way, when who knew the show was going to last 15 years, but we've all seen those shows where they're cute kids when they're in their teens or early 20s. And then they grow up and you're like, yikes. But those two stayed ridiculously good looking for the entire run. And then some. It's insane.
Best surgeons in the business. I mean, they had a team of doctors right off camera.
So let me ask you.
Jensen Ackles is so handsome that I'm convinced he can also sing pretty good. I don't know if it's actually good, but when I watch him, I go, so cool.
He's got a good voice, that dude.
I mean, he can do no wrong.
I'm sure. I do think he has a good voice, but I'm like, do I think he has a good voice, or I just watching this guy do stuff.
Yeah, Rob, you got to tell your ear canal story.
Yeah, my favorite is we all play music at the conventions. I'm in a band and we all play, and sometimes Jensen comes up and sings with us. So Jensen was being fit for an ear monitor, and they actually fit exactly to your ear that fits right in, right? And so the guy is like a specialist that does this, and he's looking inside Jensen's ear. And he literally had to take a step back, and he's like, that's one of the most perfect ear canals I've ever seen. In the retelling, they always have him, he takes a knee, a tear.
Yeah, he just gets a little upset.
I'm not surprised at all.
I got
a
million questions for a guy who I just feel like, man, school was just great. High school.
Everything.
Phenomenal. And even he thought high school was his best years, and then they weren't even.
Yeah, and also, by the way, he does look. I don't know him, but he does seem like a nice guy.
Great guy.
How the fuck do you stay nice when you're that good looking and that famous for that long? It makes no sense.
Dudes are good dudes. They're both well raised Texas
really
boys.
Good, really good
so
guy.
You guys, as I said, you did a lot. You started with Comic Cons. Now there's actual like Supernatural Cons, right?
The reverse is true. We started with Supernatural Cons.
Okay, and then
Supernatural Cons were going on. Before, I mean, Comic-Con's always been around, obviously, and the show has always had a presence there. But way before Rob and I became involved as, like, the MCs for that, we were MCing the Supernatural Con Circuit, which was the most well-attended and fruitful convention circuit since Star Trek. It was massive. We were doing 20
I almost went to one, which is so embarrassing to admit, but I did almost go to one about 10 years ago. I did almost went to one in Jersey.
I go to one now.
Yeah, I almost went to
I gotta tell you, as much as I'd love to go, you almost went. They're actually
I've been to
a good show.
I've been
like, put on a good bit. Like it's a
Kiss
fun weekend.
I've been to Striper conventions.
Hey, listen, my other podcast on this network also, Legion of Skanks. We have our own comedy festival we do. So I get it.
Yeah,
my question is,
sure, it's awesome. Everyone's there to like listen, you know, with comedy, the like is what I'd say to you guys. My instinct is to thank you almost for being a part of something that, like, when something entertaining does its job of entertainment and gets you through just like shitty downtime, it's pretty, makes people happy. So I can get people being so excited to see you because you got them, whatever it was. You know
what
I mean?
Sure, like, Jay's not the only person you guys got through fucking the pandemic by watching through them. How many Supernatural conventions are there a year now? Are there several?
Oh, yeah. Now, Rob, what do you say there are this year? 2022.
God damn it. That's nuts.
So at our height, we were doing about 20 to 24, and that includes Brazil, Rome, England, Germany,
Australia.
We're popping all around Australia. So we were going, it was as close to being in a touring band as I'll ever be. And it was, we did these things and we were it's a show. It's a full, it's a band. It's Rob's band. IMC. It has Rob's and MC's with me. It's got a very Kimmel vibe to the whole thing. And we were for years, we were lobbying to take over the Comic-Con hosting gig, not because Rob and I are professional hosts, but because we're friends with these. The reason why it works, Rob and I do Supernatural conventions. We don't then go over and do, you know, the Tool convention, because we're not MCs for just conventions. Right. These are our friends. This is a show we worked on. It's our home base. We know this world and we know these people. So it's fun for us to do because we are all legitimately friends with each other. And you sit there and watch Comic-Con. Rob and I would go to coverage of Comic-Con for various networks and then go to the big panel and sit there and just watch a host doing their best, but doesn't know the show, doesn't know the actors, it has questions that they can't ask because no one can answer because of the spoiler alert thing.
Right.
And it's like watching a boring medical presentation. And you're like, for years we lobbied like to the WB, the Warner Brothers people and the CW people. I just let us do it. I promise you, you'll be glad you did. And it took 3 years, I think, of
wow.
me sending pleading emails to 1 year. They finally said, fine. And they were super nervous. They wanted to see our script beforehand. Rob and I don't really do scripts beforehand. We kind of make a scribble some notes on a cocktail napkin. And like, we're like, just trust us. Now we were also shaking in our boots because now we're doing it in front of 6,000 people. We broadcast around the world as opposed to just in the convention hall in front of 2,000 people. But nonetheless, that really turned the tide of how our supernatural panels went for Comic-Con.
Are you going to do the podcast at the conventions now? Is that part of it as well?
We are talking about that. We're talking about maybe doing, not consistently.
Like
that
won't be
enough. We're doing one-off. Yeah.
One a year, maybe in Vegas or something like that. Just also because A, it'll be fun for us, but B, so the fans can see what we do and how we do it. And people love that stuff. I love that stuff.
Amazing that you guys are basically committing to work with each other for another 14 years in theory, which is ridiculous, right?
Rob and I have been working together for 10 years already. I might as well just keep going.
And then I believe you touched on, Rob has a band called, I'm probably going to fuck up the name, Loud and Swain. Is that right?
Nailed it. Right? Yeah. Nailed it.
But then, Rich, don't you have something called Dick Jr. and the Volunteers, or is that no longer?
No, that's still a thing. I have
So my question is, why not go out on fucking tour together as a band and then do the show? That makes sense to me.
Well, you're not wrong. And a lot of that was sort of conversations are being had about that. And then COVID hit. I mean, like we were all of these things. I put out a Dick Jr. and the Volunteers album, which is more country inspired. And it landed in November of 2019, and then December COVID arise. And by January, February, the world was upside down. So it, the plans to do a tour, which was always the plan, because Rob really has two bands. He has Loud and Swain. And then he has this other project called The Station Breaks, which has some of the same members from Loud and Swain and some of the members from Dick Jr. and the Volunteers. So they were just going to take the three bands and just go play. And
I mean, it should be called God and the Disciples. Let's be honest at this point. That's
that's good. I like
we're going to the flowing robes weren't flattering. We thought this is going to be, and they get in the way of the gear. It's
I
hard
like being the headliner. I like that part of it.
You're already the headliner.
I'm going to ask about the quick, stupid question. Yes,
Ralph, I'm just going to tell you that when we get off the Zoom, they're going to say to each other, God and the Disciples. What an asshole that guy was.
And Jay, if I see them on tour in 6 months with that name, I'm going to come over and punch you in the mouth. How about that?
Let me warn you guys. Ralph's very litigious.
I want you to know this, and I want you to feel comfortable with this. If we thought that that suggestion deserved what an asshole comment, we'd have given it right here live on the air.
Nice.
I would not have waited till after
the
fact.
Don't worry. We still got 20 minutes for you guys to
come. Ralph is coming.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I see on the show you do get a lot of the previous Supernatural stars as well. Obviously, as we mentioned, the first episode of the new season, which comes out in 2 days, Jensen and Jeffrey are on. Is it possible or are you trying? I think she was only on one episode, but Paris Hilton to get her on the show? Is that something you're trying to do?
I believe we'll try to get Paris Hilton on the show. I don't see why not. I mean, really, Steve Hine, our exec producer, has done a pretty good job of wrangling some interesting folks, both that are the marquee value ones that, the Jeffrey Dean Morgans and the Jensen Ackles and also the really cool crew people who made the show really work, which, for my money, I find fascinating. As Rob will say, I always light up like a nerd when anybody starts talking about, lenses. I'm like, go on. But I love that side of the whole process. And no, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be going after, we tried to get Sterling K. Brown.
Oh, recently. That'd be great. He was so good on the show.
He's so good. And unfortunately, we couldn't. We'll try again. But you know how it is. I mean, gosh, it took us 8 tries to get here.
6 tries to get YouTube, guys.
Yeah. So like it's a moving target. But, the more the podcast gets a toehold and is around and is a sort of a staple of the Supernatural universe and is known, the easier it'll be to have conversations with the people we don't know. A lot of these are based on relationships, right? We know a lot of the people, but we don't know Paris Hilton. I mean, Rob and Paris partied together for a chunk in the 90s, for like eight, nine years.
Just people, right?
just people loving each other. And that, so, you know, if they're still in contact, then he'll reach out. Otherwise, we'll try.
That's hot. That's hot.
Do you guys clearly remember the first time that you got recognized as your characters? Like when you're walking around the streets, like, oh, this show is fucking way more popular than I realized. Does that moment stick in your head?
I don't know if I remember the first time.
I remember the first time I walked into a convention hotel. And I say that because that was super weird because, you know, some agent called and said, hey, they want you to do a convention. And I'm like, a convention? You know, the only image I had of conventions were 1970s grainy footage of Star Trek conventions where, you know what I mean? Like, it just wasn't what conventions had become. I'd never been to one myself. So it was not something I was familiar. I mean, as a fan, I mean, so I was not familiar with them from that angle. And I turned it down a couple of times. And finally, my agent's like, what can it hurt? It's a little walking around money and you meet people who like you, because it's not like I'm a famous guy. It's not like, oh, no, I don't want to be, you know, spend another weekend in a hotel where people know who I am. Right. And just walking in the lobby of the hotel, I still had no concept of really what I was walking into. And I walked into the lobby of the hotel. And of course, it didn't occur to me that the entire hotel would be housing
all
fans
people.
Of Supernatural. Yeah. Right. Who all specifically came for the convention. I figured it'd be like, you know, one side room back in the back. I'd go sit. You know what I pictured? I pictured Mickey Rourke and The Wrestler. I thought I'd be like in a gym with like a folding table and people kind of strolling past, not talking to me, with the occasional person moseying over. Turns out when you go to the Supernatural convention and you're in Supernatural, they know you, you know?
But the Iron Sheik is still there.
Did either of you steal anything from set or take anything home that you have that you cherish from the show?
Well, I think we both have our chair back.
My chair back, and I have there are a couple of costume jackets that I really like, because they're tailored to you, and this is a great sport coat. As an actor, I don't have a lot of those, so I took a couple of those, but they were very strict. Like I wanted to take one of those posters off the wall that had, they were covers of my book of Carver Edlund, which is my pen name, the covers of his novels. But I tried to grab some of those, but they wouldn't let me.
When I did a scene in Billions, they tailored a suit to me for a scene. And then I was like, you know, I was like, man, this is a nice suit. And I think my girlfriend was even like, why don't you ask me if you can keep it? It's just like, and I'll never do that again, because I was like, can I keep the suit? And they went, no. And then I was like, and then I tried to backpedal. I'm like, well, I could buy it from you, right? And she goes, no.
Like, yeah, they reuse all that.
I felt so. Well, I've been given stuff before, so that was the first time they were like, "No." And what a crazy question! Yeah.
You know, I think I have. So somebody, we've been asked that question before if we've taken anything, and I think until recently I've said no, but I actually think I did take something, and it was the first episode I directed was Just My Imagination, which was Imaginary Friend episode. Sam has an imaginary friend when he's a kid. And imaginary friend shows back up. And there's a scene, like there is a million scenes, you know, that are like just like this in Supernatural, where Dean's tied to a chair. And miraculously, he finds a shard or something along those lines and, you know, saws through the rope. Uh-huh. You know, like, you know what I mean? You've seen that a bunch.
Yeah.
I think I still have that piece of rope. I think I took that as like, because I was so fired up to finally be directing television that I was like, man, something that they're not going to care about, they're not going to miss and need to reuse. I'll take that little like thing from the close up. So
there
I think
so
it's
many
like
weird trinkets, like this is the Incan idol of blah, 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 whatever. Right. You think there'd be something floating around that nobody would notice?
Oh, can you take the inkling thing of the blogger?
Well, there probably is.
Cursed, Ralph. Don't touch that.
There probably are things floating around. Yeah. I mean, that people have snarfed. But, you know, I think Rob and I, we liked going to work there. We wanted to be able to return to work there. The last thing you want to do would be labeled a thief.
Question with Eric is like, did you guys steal the Incan?
The Incan Bola Bagaga?
And by the way, I'm sure you're not allowed to talk about this, but I have to ask, do you guys have any inkling if either of your characters will be involved in the Winchesters, or I'm sure you're sworn to secrecy?
Well, I mean, the truth be told, I know very little. I mean, Rob may know more than I do. I know there's grand plans, but those plans are sort of have been just casual conversations at this point. I'm not aware of anything, but you're right. If I were aware, I'd lie and say I wasn't aware. So right. You really don't know if I'm lying to you or not.
Right. It is cool though. That it is cool by just the nature of your characters alone. Like it's possible you could be there.
You could just be there.
That's cool. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of like Better Call Saul. It's like, you know, they slowly start bringing back the Breaking Bad characters that they can.
Yeah. And except they look 106 now versus 19. That was the problem exactly. with that.
Joey DeRosa. Actually, and also Joey DeRosa featured in the last season of Better Call Saul still.
Oh, that's nice. I didn't know that.
Brought him back. That was pretty cool.
But that actually it brings up kind of an odd, touchy subject, but why not? We're almost done. You could think I'm an asshole now. We waited 40 minutes.
Ralph.
So, way past that. When the Winchesters thing got announced, there was that brief moment where they seemed to have a Twitter beef. The brothers, Winchester seemed to get a little angry with each other, and then that got solved. But there also seems to be a little bit of a Mark Shepard beef at one point where he felt the show did him dirty a little bit. Did you guys ever have a feeling either way on how Mark's character arc ended?
No. And I'm friends with Mark. Rob's friends with Mark. We're friends with Jared and Jensen. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, 15 years is a long time and a lot of man hours and a lot of people hours and a lot of like sweat equity that went into that show. And I think you can't not step on a few toes in that kind of process. It just right. is what it is. Intentional or not. I think in certain situations, like I love Mark Shepard on the show. I think Mark Shepard's a great guy off the show. And why they decided, you know, why the people with the big paychecks decided to do what they do, it's baffling to me. I have no idea. Rob and I sort of scratch our chins a lot watching how one character would take off and do a bunch of stuff. And the other character, that was awesome. You never see again. Like who knows? Who understands? And I don't, you know, as an actor, I think Rob and I can both appreciate that it blows not working when you think you should be working or, you know, right. when your character should be doing more and that's what you want. And that's what you want as a performer. And when you get a great character, you want to do as much of that character as you possibly can, because in the world of guest star television, which is how Rob and I both started, which is how Mark Shepard started on Supernatural, you don't get the cool stuff we get to do. Like this is an anomaly. And right. everybody recognizes it when you're on the show. You're like, oh my God, I'm a guest star, but I'm getting to do this amazing stuff. And I'm heavily involved in mythology and all that. So I think you can't help but get your emotions wrapped up in it and get your feelings hurt and, you know, have those moments of being like, well, crap, man, I wanted to do more. And why did you do that that way? And why aren't I this and that and the other? I think at the end of the day, everybody likes everybody. Everybody's friends. And that's not some bullshit Hollywood answer. I see Jared and Jensen all the time. They get along great. They're brothers. They fight. Right. I have three sons. My sons fight. They will then be playing in the yard. They will have just sworn to hate each other till their dying breath. And then they're out playing right. together. So like it is what it is, man. And Jared and Jensen, for non-biological men, are as close as brothers that I can possibly imagine two people being. They linked each other's careers together. They linked each other's fortunes together.
Families, they live in the same city.
Wow.
And you know, that really was the secret of the show, is that these two actors got along so well and they really are such good dudes, and that filtered down. I think if they were assholes, I can't see that lasting for 15 seasons. Right. You know?
Of course. No,
yeah, Ralph, you're an asshole. These guys have barely been here for 45 minutes.
I couldn't. But you know,
it brought me great joy to watch. Hey, I love those guys being buddies, because right. it's key to like life, real life. You can't spend that much time doing something awesome and then have it sour on the vine. That'd be a terrible waste, because they're great guys with great, great history. And, you know, Jared had Jensen come direct Walker. Jared has Mark Shepard doing a recurring character on Walker Independence. Everybody's still buddies. Right. Everybody's still working together. You know what I mean,
Rich, did you pitch yourself to become a director on some of the shows? Did they ask you? How did that come about?
I pitched myself hard on Supernatural. Supernatural took me years and years and years to win the hearts and minds of everybody to get a shot at doing that, including the good people at Warner Brothers. And I did their Warner Brothers directors program and, you know, took my short films out on the film festival circuit and did all the things I needed to do away from them to prove that I could do it for them. But that still took a long time. Once I had injected myself into the Supernatural world as a director, I did 11 episodes of Supernatural in the last four seasons. I ended up doing a lot. So then I was part of the rotation of Supernatural directors so that when everybody went off and did their own shows, I didn't have to pitch myself. I was already part of the conversation, fortunately. So Kung Fu, which is the show I direct a lot of, Bob Behrens was a big time writer at Supernatural for years, and he's the co-showrunner of that show, along with Christina Kim, and my name was on their list for Walker. Same with Jared. You know, we're buddies, but we're also professional, you know, partners in that regard, where he likes what I do directing wise and feels comfortable. You know, if you think about it, when you have a show and you're turning it over to somebody to tell it visually, you want to know that person's going to deliver. Not, I don't mean just from a good director standpoint, but it helps that we're buddies. It helps that you can call and go, "Hey man, let's not drop the ball on X, Y, and Z." And there's an inside language. And I think it really does help and bring a level of comfort. It certainly does to me to go to those shows to direct them.
If you go back, or somebody goes back to watch all the episodes, do you feel like, did you put like a watermark on your episodes? Do you feel like, is there something like a thing in your episodes where you're like, I like, do you know what I mean? I mean,
my own little Easter egg in there.
Every episode is a reflection of him in the mirror like this.
He's holding a sign that says, "Look, Mom, I'm directing."
I did try to put myself in as an extra one time, and they gave me the answer that the wardrobe person gave you in Billions. Like, no.
No. Come on. Just let me walk
hard
by.
No, idiot. That's a really interesting question. You know, it's going to sound artsy, nerdy, but like, I enjoy the process of directing so much that for me internally, every time I do a successful thing that I dreamt about while I was reading the script and it's achieved, that's my personal watermark. I sit there and watch it. And I'll use an episode I did with Rob as an example. We did this great shot, this great scene where Rob is in a Best Buy type store, and there's all these TVs showing all this destruction. Rob's going on this monologue where he's just tearing at a new one and getting frustrated and kind of having this moment of discovery for himself, for this character. And Rob's doing a great job acting his face off. And, you know, Rob and I had this very specific blocking plan with the camera crew on these TVs so that Rob could be in these right spots for all these moments, reflecting on all these things. And there's this shot where then Rob, right before the commercial break, or the right before the Supernatural title card, he turns and he walks towards the camera. And at the end of the monologue, which means Rob's got to be spot on with his line, spot on with the pacing, spot on with his mark, because he lands in a frame that's about this tight before he said, "It's time to start canceling shows." And it's a great scene, well-written scene, Rob nailing it. And it's one of those things where everybody has to be on their A game, because the focus puller is like squeezing this wheel, like rapid fire, as Rob's like marching forward to land in this thing. There's no edit there. There's no way to cut around it. And you get that thing right up in the grill piece, and Rob's, you know, piercing blue eyes right in the camera saying that line. And when you achieve something like that, there's such a victorious moment as a team. You're like, "Ah, yeah, sure. I dreamed up the shot." But without the, you know, great acting of Rob and the expertise of the camera crew and the focus pulling and everything else, it's unusable. So to me, those are the moments that I walk home going, "That was dope."
Yeah.
What season is your first directed episode?
Season 11.
I was trying to think how long before you guys are going to be recapping your episode, because it seems going to be very, very self-serving. What a great episode this is.
I'm pretty sure. I think Rob's going to make me recuse myself, you know.
You go, "Wow, look at that tree line. A lot of directors wouldn't think to show that tree line."
We might be dead by the time it comes around episode 11. It might be our sons carrying on without us.
Now, Jay, before we get to the first, or Shannon, I know we all love the show so much. Any other last Supernatural question before we do the first?
Oh, Shannon's probably got a laundry list.
Shannon
left.
No, I'm here, and I'm loving it. No, I feel like actually a lot of my questions were answered during this. I'm just loving listening to the conversation.
Okay, all right, here we go. All right, so we're going to hit the first right now.
The first time ever I saw concert Detroit.
The name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We've asked every guest this since we've started the show. We ask about your first experience with all three, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. We start with rock and roll, and we mean the first concert you went to, ideally on your own volition, and something we're going to know, not some local band like, I don't know, Loudon Swain that no one's ever heard of.
Wow.
I'm a big fan of Loudon Swain.
Wow, dude.
This is the time when we can call you an asshole.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay, it's a supernatural. Turns out it was a supernatural guest star, Rick Springfield.
Nice.
Oh, that's great.
Concert, and the Motels opened up.
Oh, nice. How old are you?
14.
And you went on, you're like, I'm a big fan of Rick Springfield. I want to go see this.
Yeah, yeah. That's loved great. Jesse's Girl, and yeah, I was a big fan. I even liked Hard to Hold, his movie. It's definitely, that was way into Rick Springfield. I just loved, you play guitar and he sang. And
wait a minute. Me and my buddy question, went. Rob. Did you go by your, was that you on your own, or was that, did your parents?
I went with
take
a buddy. I went with a friend. My mom dropped us off, you know.
Didn't Sammy Hagar cover a Rick Springfield song, or am I crazy?
Maybe.
I feel like
I don't know.
Don't talk to strangers.
I think it was like 83, yeah. 84.
Yeah, that's great. That's a good.
By
a
the
good
way, the Motels, everyone knows Only the Lonely.
Yeah.
Suddenly Last
yeah
Summer is
Suddenly
the
Last Summer.
Suddenly Last Summer.
That's a banger.
Song. Yeah.
That's a great tune.
A banger, Jay. All right, Rich, your first.
Yeah.
Well, my first concert, was Donny and Marie Osmond. I just want to say that to sort of date myself. And the my parents took me as a kid. But my first concert I went to on my own, my own volition, was U2 on the Joshua Tree tour with the Bodines opening.
Oh, that's a good one too. Yeah. You were a big
good
fan
lineup
of U2. So I guess that's 82. Is that right? Is that 82?
No. 87.
I think 87. Oh, God, I'm off by a lot. Yeah. By the way, Shannon just told me it's he covered "I've Done Everything for You." That's the song he covered.
Oh,
I knew.
You done nothing for me.
Yeah, I knew it was something. All right, now the first drug you ever did after weed. Unless weed wasn't your first drug, or if weed was the hardest drug you ever did.
First drug after weed that I did was, I think it was mushrooms.
Mushrooms. How old were you?
Yeah. 27. It was late.
Oh, that's
I,
late.
I did.
Yeah.
I was only all weed for me until then. And then, and I did mushrooms, and it was not a good. I had a bad trip. I had a bad, real bad trip. Yeah, it was
fear.
A bummer.
It was
yeah
a one-off then? I mean, it was a one-off?
I tried again later. I tried again later in life to do it a little bit better, and I did. I did fewer mushrooms next time I did it. But yeah, the very first time I did too many, and I wound up thinking I was dying, which I wasn't at all, and called 911 and put myself in the hospital.
Jeez.
That's
and the
great
doctor, in all seriousness, looked at me as after I woke up and was like, "No one's ever died from mushrooms. You're fine. You're gonna be fine."
Rich, yours?
Or he's gonna say, "You're a pioneer, sir, because you're dying." mine is the same. It was mushrooms, and it was in college. So before Robbie, and I was my buddy of mine. Oh, a buddy of mine we had just moved to Southern California. I moved from Nashville to LA to go to college. And we were so enthralled with the idea that we were in like the land of the Doors, you know, like the LA of the 60s and 70s, even though it was the 90s. and so we took mushrooms to go to Venice Beach. And this is how dumb we are. We thought, well, we'll just time this right because it takes what 30 minutes to hit you. So our drug, using friends told us,
yeah,
me and this guy had no clue what we're doing. None. So we think, hey, we'll just, when we know we're 30 minutes away from Venice Beach, boop.
Oh man.
Well, that's just the crow flies. That's not traffic. Counting traffic.
LA traffic.
Which was about an hour and a half.
I'm sure the scientific term of exactly 30 minutes is probably not too accurate either.
Yeah, there's a lot that's wrong with this
a
story.
A lot of factors involved.
A lot of holes in this story. Anyway,
you're
so
in
we
the car.
We're in the car.
Yeah, a lot of exact numbers being thrown around for variables.
Say it again.
There's a lot of exact numbers being thrown around without a lot of variables.
Yeah, and I mean, factor in the two rubes who were, you know, the lab rats of this experiment. So we were a good 30, 40 minutes away from anything that looked like a beach when those things kicked in. And luckily I was not operating a motor vehicle. He was, but it was, I mean, we laughed our face off. I laugh about it now. As a parent, I'm horrified.
Right.
This is the last dumb thing I want my children to do is that.
Right.
But it was, it made for a good story. And we got there and we sunburned ourselves because we forgot to put on, I had like a white hand that went, like that and Streak. And then we fell asleep in the sand and watched The Colors of the Sand. It was that. And then I tried it one more time after that and had an awful experience like Rob described. And that was the end of my, my end of my journey.
Do you, is your family back in Nashville still?
Everybody. Yes. Everybody. My, I have two sisters raising their families there and my, both my parents are still there. So yeah, it's still my home base.
I love that. I just did, the Ryman Auditorium down there.
Oh man.
With, it was the Kid Rock comedy jam.
Oh my God, though, dude. I've toured Ryman a bunch, but I've never seen a show there.
Oh, it's really, it was a really, really nice theater.
It's beautiful. Really, it's really stunning. Cool. It's an American, you know.
My friend Nate Bargatze moved down there because he's from there and he got like popular enough to kind of be able to move back home. So like he's always enticing me to try to move there. It's beautiful. I really love Nashville.
Yeah, I love there. I think, you know, my wife is an Oregonian. We spend a lot of time, which is where I am right now. We spend a lot of time on the west side, northwest, Pacific Northwest. So I don't think moving to Nashville is in our cards, but I certainly anybody who's moving there, which by the way, they're doing in droves now.
Yeah.
No, I know that's also the problem. So it's getting more expensive because everyone's going. It's oh, the LA people are everyone from
White.
Everyone's leaving LA and going to Nashville.
Everyone's leaving your city here and going to Nashville. I mean, Nashville, Austin, Charlotte, North Carolina, like so many of those cities are just exploding because of all the things they offer, minus the taxes. You know. Yeah.
All right, now the last one, the first time you had sex. How the first time God had sex? Let's hear about that one.
It was my 18th birthday, and it was planned. It was basically a friend who said she wanted to be my first, and my mom was out of town, and so she came over.
On your birthday?
On my birthday, yeah.
That's a nice lady.
Yeah. And, yeah, and it was, you know, it was what it was. It was about 45 seconds of pure bliss. Yeah,
I mean, that's a nice
She
blend.
Loved it.
And Rich?
Very blanket terms because I have a room full of children here.
Mushrooms is okay?
Yeah, weirdly, they, you know what? They think of that as food, Rob.
Yeah. All right, now
it's like saying lettuce. You had lettuce?
I don't see weird colors in the sand when I eat mushrooms.
College, sophomore year, incredibly awkward. No one's going to write a great song or novella about the experience. I can assure you.
Can you please use extremely graphic words right now? All right. So to wrap this up, first of all, guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. Really a blast. We're going to run around and do plugs, but yours will say the new Instagram for the show is SPN Then and Now, which just went up recently. Rob Benedict and Dix Spader, with Spade Jr. rather, but spelled with an 8 instead of spelling out the whole name on Instagram as well. You both have a few hundred thousand followers each. I don't need our help too much more. But then obviously the new season of Supernatural Then and Now is coming out on the 11th, which is as we're taping this two days from now. And it's Jensen Ackles and Jensen and Jeffrey, which is amazing. And I'm sure you have a bevy of great guest stars lined up. The bands we said already, Dick Jr. and the Volunteers and Loud and Swain. Anything else you guys want to plug before we go around and do our plugs?
Just say if you, the podcast is for people who are just starting the show or people who've watched it 10 times in a row. It doesn't matter. We are exploring elements of the show that if you're a veteran of the show, you will enjoy hearing about again, or we'll discover something new because the people we have on, you have not heard from. So it's a worthwhile listen.
By the way, the last two episodes and your little teaser for the new season, because I'm a big fan. So yeah, I can recommend Supernatural Then and Now. The new season is coming out in days. Jay, your plugs?
BigJComedy.com. I'm all over the place. Oklahoma next weekend, Bricktown Comedy Club. Then I'll be at the Just for Laughs Festival in Montreal hosting the Nasty Show for 10 days. So, and then Ralph's also going to come up there.
Yeah, I am. He's going to be there for one of the nights. We're going to do one of the nights there.
Hell yeah, it's going to be fun. It's a very big, cool festival in Montreal, Canada. And then after that, just back on the road a ton. Also, The Bonfire on Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103, 5 days a week with me and Dan Soder, and Legion of Skanks podcast right here on Gas Digital Network. And getting pretty excited, dude. I just picked a director yesterday for my special at Skankfest and everything, so it's getting real. It's getting real. It's exciting.
By the way, I want Shannon's plugs, because after Shannon's plugs, we're going to ask him the last question, which I'm so excited to find out the answer to. Go ahead.
I'm excited too. Also, I am excited because I am about to restart my binge. I'm going to listen to their podcast and then go back through Supernatural again. I'm very excited about it.
She's so hot. It seems like she's lying.
Shannon, you'll be done. You'll be done by next Tuesday, because that's how you watch this.
It's going to be bad. Yeah. You can follow me on Instagram, ShannonLee6982, and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is, Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting guests come on, comedians, musicians, reality TV stars, and porn stars, and they tell their own personal stories about a bad date that they've been on, a time they got into a street fight, and an experience with the paranormal.
Okay, now guys, do not indicate anything here. Don't even blink when I ask this question. Do Rich and Rob believe in ghosts? This is a crazy question. We all have to lock in our answers, because that's our show is all about that. Jay, do you have a thought?
Rob, where are you from originally?
Missouri.
Yes, they both do.
Okay, Shannon?
My initial guess was that Rob is yes and Rich is no.
All right. Mine is they both don't, but for the purposes of the show, they're going to both say yes, because it would be sacrilegious. Let's see what the answer is. Guys?
Yes.
No.
Oh, got shit. It. Shannon nailed it.
Wow. Nice, right. Shannon. I'm proud of you.
I knew Shannon was right. I was like, yeah, Shannon's got it right.
I don't think Rob and I have ever had that conversation, but Rob knows that I'm a no.
It's a hard no. Wild.
I follow me everywhere.
Do you have a framed picture of moving fire in your bedroom?
You know, I've never seen that before. It's a fireplace.
A lot of fireplaces are usually around the floor.
Yeah, it's electric.
not hovering around the ceiling.
It's a crazy fire hazard. Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness, called The Good Sugar Podcast, comes out every Monday. We're opening up our first location in September in New York City, and I will be hosting the Stone Temple Pilots, King's X, Steven Adler show at the Paramount Theater July 30th. It's for ZO2 and the charity for David Z.
David Z Foundation.
Jay's going to be there. Shannon's going to be there. It's July 30th. It's right around the corner. And we'll be giving away tickets on the SDR show up until the day that show happens. We end this show every week with a song. I feel after hearing that story, we got to play fucking Kansas. How could we
not? I got one question before you sign us off. Don't you feel like, am I the only one who thinks that Shannon needs to just put a picture of Mary Winchester in that fireplace? Like, that's so high up, it's practically the ceiling.
I will do that.
Perfect.
All right, guys, thank you so much.
All right, thank
Kansas.
You, guys.
That was a blast. And I'll see everybody next time on the SDR show. Peace.
Thank you. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more. Once I rose above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion. I was soaring ever higher, but I flew too high. Though my eyes could see, I still was a blind man. Though my mind could think, I still was a madman. I hear the voices when I'm dreaming. I can hear them say, carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your
listening to the SDR Show.